Host Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrajamumbina Namanam Ki Jai Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Shri Lachal Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Most Beautiful Lordship Shri Shukvini Dwarkadish Ki Jai Shri Shukvini Dwarkanath Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai, Samabeta Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Going back to home, back to Godhead ki jai, ISKCON, Los Angeles, Yatra ki jai, Brihad Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai, International Food for Life, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution ki jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Shri Kartik Mas ki jai, Shri Damodar Bharata ki jai. Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga glory to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Deving Sarasatim Vyasam Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is a translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God, at whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 10. And today's verse, I think, should be 33. Yes, because yesterday we had a reading from Krishna book. Etad Bhagavato Rupam Stulam Te Vyaritam Maya Maya Dibish Chavaranair Ashtabir Bahir Avritam. Another little Sanskrit note. It's not air, like we say air, water, fire. It's a-ir. A-ir. Not air. Okay? Etad bhagavato rupam stulang te vyaritang maya maya dibishavaranayar ashtabir bahiravritam. Etad bhagavato rupam stulang te vyaritang maya maya dibishchavaranair ashtabhir bahir avritam. Etad bhagavato rupam stulang te vyaritang maya Maya dibish chavaranair ashtabir bahir avritam. Please. etan bhagavato rupam stulang te vyaritang maya maya adibhishchavaranayar ashtabhir bahir avritam etad bhagavato rupam stulang te vyaritang maya maya adibhishchavaranayar ashtabhir bahir avritam Vaishnavis etad bhagavato rupam stulang te vyaritang maya maya adibhishchavaranayar ashtabhir bahir avritam bhagavato rupam sulang te pyaritang maya maya adibhishchavaranayar ashtabhir bahir avritam sulang te pyaritang maya maya adibhishchavaranayar ashtabhir bahir avritam. So synonyms, etat, all these, bhagavataha, of the personality of Godhead, rupam, form, stulam, gross, te, unto you, vyaritam, explained, maya, by me, mahi, the planets, adibhi, and so on, cha, unlimitedly, avaranai, by coverings, ashtabhi, by eight, bahi, external, avritam, covered. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Thus, by all this, the external feature of the personality of Godhead is covered by gross forms, such as those of planets, which were explained to you by me. Please repeat. Thus, by all this, the external feature of the personality of Godhead is covered by gross forms, such as those of planets, which were explained to you by me. Shukadeva Goswami continuing to speak. Srila Prabhupada's purport, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 4, the separated material energy of the personality of God is covered by eight kinds of material coverings: earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All these are emanations from the personality of Godhead as his external energy. These coverings are just like the coverings of clouds for the sun. The cloud is a creation of the sun, yet it actually covers the eyes so that one cannot see the sun. The sun cannot be covered by the clouds. The cloud can at utmost extend a few hundreds of miles in the sky. But the sun is far greater than millions of miles. So a 100-mile covering is not competent to cover millions of miles. Therefore, one of the various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot, of course, cover the Lord. But these coverings are created by him to cover the eyes of the conditioned souls who want to lord it over the material nature. Actually, the conditioned souls are covered by the illusory creative cloud of matter, and the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to their eyes. Because they have no eyes of transcendental vision, and because they cannot see the personality of Godhead, they therefore deny the existence of the Lord and the transcendental form of the Lord. The covering of the gigantic material feature is accepted by such men with a poor fund of knowledge, and how this is so is explained in the following verse. Ama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste. Saraswate Deve Gauravani Bacharini Nirvashesha Shunivari Pasuchadesh Tarni Om Agyana Tamarandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Tapadakalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Chadvaitam Savadutam Parijan Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopeshikopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopa Turubhya Shakripa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Swasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it seems today we're back to not so exciting subject matter. Yesterday, instead of the Bhagavatam class, Suvas read very enthusiastically from the Krishna book. Wonderful reading. And then last night we heard from Shyam Mukund, again very nicely, presenting the same pastimes, but it didn't seem stale or it was very fresh, isn't it? In the morning we heard those same two chapters, Krishna convincing Nanda Maharaj not to perform the Indra Yoga, and then the subsequent result of Indra attacking Vrindavan and the residents of Vrindavan. So we heard the entire two chapters read by Suvas. In the evening we heard the same subject matter, but it was fresh. I don't know about you, but I was enthralled. Shyam Mukund gave a very nice presentation. So this is the nature of spiritual subject matter. It never becomes hackneyed or stale. It is ever fresh, just like everything in the spiritual world. Navayovanam, ever expanding, ever fresh. It's the same thing with spiritual subject matter. When heard from the right sources. When heard from, that's the key. If we hear from non-devotees, academics, people who don't actually believe that Krishna exists, they think he's just a figment of the minds of sages of several thousand years ago, then of course one will not get anything out of it. One will not be excited. One will feel compelled to stick just to the 10th canto, because at least there are some personalities and some interaction, and it doesn't seem to be happening here. But this section of the Bhagavatam, for those who are actually devoted to devotees of Krishna, is just as exciting. Srila Prabhupada, again, I've mentioned many times that it struck me when I heard Prabhupada say that, that many people in India, especially, they're attracted only to Bal Krishna, this vision here, Yashoda Damodar. They like that. They don't like Gopi Krishna because they consider that to be immoral. Krishna is dancing with other men's wives. How foolish. How foolish. All of the, everything is expanded from Krishna. We all belong to Krishna. There's no question of Krishna with usurping anybody else's property or dealing with somebody who belongs to somebody else. Nobody belongs to anybody else. Everybody belongs to Krishna. So it's foolish from a philosophical viewpoint. It's foolish. But the other point is that they're not understanding that all aspects of Krishna's Leela, this is also Leela. This expansion of the material world is Leela. Shukadev Goswami started out his presentation on this subject matter by pointing that out. Again, many times I've said that we study so many of the prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like Queen Kunti's prayers, or Uddhava Gita, or etc., but we don't necessarily focus on the prayers given by Shukadeva Goswami himself. One set of prayers in the fourth chapter of this canto. And how does he start out? Namaktamasmai purushaya puyase yat udbhavastana niroda lilaya grihita shakti chitayaya dehinam antarbahir vasyabhavatmane. So he's pointing out that this udbhavastana niroda, the creation, maintenance, and winding up of the material energy is Leela. It's all Krishna's Leela. So again, from a materialistic point of view, we say, but this material world is full of so much suffering, birth and death and attacks by all kinds of people. And if you're on nextdoor.com to see what's happening in the neighborhood every single day, somebody's posting how they got attacked or their house got broken into or something happened, you know. Some negative thing is happening practically at every single moment here in this material world. And that's Leela. You call that Leela? How is that the Lord's Leela? It is. It is. He's enacting this material manifestation for us to come and enact our little Leelas. We're trying to imitate him. He has his vast, unlimited Leela going on in the spiritual world. We wanted to imitate him. Okay, come here. Be a boss instead of a das. You see? We're actually das by nature, servants. But we want to be boss. Very proud. I am the in charge. People say like that, especially in India. We go somewhere, we want to know who's the in charge. It's Krishna. You don't have to ask. Yes, somebody has some temporary designation as this leader, that boss. But ultimately, Krishna is leading everyone. So that we should remember. And when we approach it from that viewpoint, that this material manifestation is actually Krishna's kindness on the conditioned souls, giving them a chance to act up, act out, as parents say to their children. Stop acting up. Don't act out. So this is Krishna's kind parental, it's parental kindness on the conditioned soul. Yes, okay, you have this vast material world, which actually is insignificant compared to the vast spiritual world. But from our viewpoint, it is vast. Los Angeles seems like such a huge city, but it's one city in one country, on one continent, on one little planet. This earth planet. Just look up at the sky, and of course you can't see the sky very nicely here in Culver City, but if you go up to Mount Palomar or any of the close by mountains, you can really get a view of what's out there. You realize how insignificant this earth planet is. It's one tiny planet in one tiny solar system, in one, what's the next unit up? You could say galaxy, yeah, Milky Way galaxy. In one tiny universe, which is like one mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds, Lord Chaitanya told us. So insignificant. But we make a bigger deal out of what's happening in Los Angeles instead of what's happening in Goloka Vrindavan or the spiritual world or Krishna's pastimes when he comes here. So this is our misfortune. Our good fortune, though, is that we've come in contact with somebody who knows what's happening. Srila Prabhupada. And he told us like that. Don't be so caught up in the moment-to-moment machinations of the material world because you can't control them. This material world, its state is endlessly mutable, which means that it's always changing. So to try to pin down any particular experience or facility for my happiness, it's not going to happen because it's always changing. It's always changing. You have no control. We're very fortunate here in Southern California. Things are more or less kind of the same. So you don't feel that sense of rapid and violent change that some people go through. But in some parts of the world, even right here in the United States, you go to a place like Lake Michigan, there's a phenomenon where when the temperature falls to like minus 40, minus 50, and a strong wind comes off the lake, all that moisture builds up on people's homes and it becomes like an ice shell. You can't get into your own house because the whole thing is frozen over. You have to get literally a pickaxe to break through the ice to get into your home. Or if you're on the inside, you're trapped and somebody has to break the ice from outside so you can get out. We don't have to deal with that here. So in SoCal, we're a little bit complacent. But all around the world, people have to deal with all kinds of material phenomena that blows your mind how they can deal with it, how they can function. You go to a place like Ethiopia, sometimes people have to walk literally miles to find a little water. In some parts of Ethiopia, the desert parts, they have to walk miles and miles to get a little bit of water for themselves and their animals. Again, we just go home, we turn on the tap. Of course, there's a drought, long time drought here, but still, you know, foolishly, we don't feel the pinch. We still go home and turn on the tap and take 15-minute showers and whatnot. But the nature of this material world is such that if we don't understand why it was created, how we should use it properly, then we create sometimes artificial shortages. Or we should say those shortages are imposed upon us because of our foolishness. As Mother Bhumi said to Prithu,
when the populace becomes sinful, it is my duty to withhold from them the necessities of life. So we can approach it from that angle of vision, that if we properly worship the Lord, propitiate the Lord, satisfy the Lord, which is what we're meant for, then all things will be provided in season, on time, just for maintaining the body nicely, but not for staying here forever and ever trying to enjoy. We still have to have that end game in sight. What is the ultimate purpose of my existence? Not to just accumulate things for my enjoyment, but to utilize everything in Krishna's service so that he will kindly allow me to leave here permanently and go back to the spiritual world. So here's being mentioned about material forms. But the material form is not our ultimate form. We know that, or we should know that. We should accept that, at least theoretically. And we experience that again every day when we put this material body down, and in the subtle body we go off and do things. Everybody here aware of that? I'm a very light sleeper, so I'm very much aware of where I am. And a little sound from outside brings me back to the gross body. But we all experience that. Even if you're the deepest sleeper, the alarm goes off and you have this sensation of coming back to your body and waking up. Meanwhile, at the same time, you were kind of conscious all night. So what is this waking up? You seem to be awake, but not awake. That's because we're attached to this particular body. So as I point out when I speak in schools, sleep is when you put this body down and you come back to this body. And nobody's afraid of that because we go through that on a daily basis. Death is when you put this body down and you wake up in a different body. That's all. But we're afraid of that because we're not sure exactly how the process works and what kind of body we're going to get. Or many people foolishly believe we don't get another body, that this is it. It's one life, you die, and that's it. But Prabhupada would point out repeatedly, no. As the body keeps changing and you're inhabiting a changing body, so the final change of this body is called death, and you will get another body after death, guaranteed. As you've always gotten another body in this lifetime, it keeps transforming, 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 and you keep going along with that transformed body. The final transformation of this body is death. And you get put into another body. That's all. We should not want to be put in another material body. We should want to have our original spiritual body. We pass this verse also earlier in this canto. Nirodha shana shanam atmanam sahi shaktabi. Muktir hitva natha rupam sorupena vivasati. That nirodha shana shanam. The winding up of this material universe. Atmanak Sahi Shaktabi is enacted by the Shakti of the Supreme Lord. Muktir Hitva Anyata Rupam. Mukti means the situation of the living entity in its original form, Swarupa, Swarupena Vyavasati, beyond the gross and subtle material bodies. So here in today's verse, it was mentioned about gross forms. But another idea that some people have is that, yes, these gross material forms are there, but when you're liberated, there's no form anymore. You just merge into the formless. And so Prabhupada repeatedly again say, no. That would mean that in the conditioned state, you have something that is not available to the Supreme. That means form. Everything that is available here is available there. Why would Krishna give us forms in this material world and not have form in the spiritual world? Prabhupada said, no, it's just like, why does your shirt have arms in it? And why do your pants have legs in it? Because the body has legs and arms. So similarly, we have legs, arms, head here in the material world because those things exist in the spiritual world. Don't think that when you go back to the spiritual world, that everybody's headless or armless or there's no such thing as arms and legs and heads and it's just one homogeneous spiritual, you know, energy. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. In the spiritual world, Yashodamayi is there, Krishna is there, Balaram is there, and they have form. Otherwise, how would you distinguish who's Yashoda, who's Balaram, who's Krishna? Form is there. But these are eternal forms, not the temporary material forms that we experience here. And because of they're temporary and miserable, some, again, the impersonalists are thinking that, no, on the eternal platform of existence, there can't be miserable bodies, because that's all they know here. All the bodies that we experience here are miserable. Even the greatest athletes, their bodies break down. You know, the people who were famous when we were kids, whatever sport you follow, you look at them now, if they're still alive, they're like bent over. So the material body is always changing, and we see that, we experience it. But still, we foolishly don't desire to get to the point of not having to take another material body. So the miseries of the material world are an impetus to go back to the spiritual world and not have to experience this again. So this lila, the material lila, the Virat Purusha, the Virat Rupa, it's part of Krishna's manifestation of kindness towards us. He, after creating everything, he personally comes again in so many incarnations, and he sends his representatives like Srila Prabhupada. And the message is the same. Reawaken your service attitude, reawaken your love for Krishna, and thus qualify yourself to go back to home, back to Godhead. So today is the appearance or disappearance, I forget now. Appearance, right? Of Vasudev Ghosh? Yeah. Appearance? Disappearance? All right. One of the two. I forget which now. Appearance or disappearance. So just a few words about him and then we'll stop. He was one of the intimate associates of the Lord. It is stated that he is an expansion of Radharani. In other words, he's an incarnation of one of Radharani's Sakis. Very, very dear to the Lord. He and his brothers, Mukunda and Govinda Ghosh, right? Govinda Ghosh, Mukunda Ghosh, and Vasudev Ghosh. They were all great singers. Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya loved to hear them sing. One little pastime that we can relate. Once he was traveling with Lord Chaitanya, and after accepting prasad, Lord Chaitanya put his hand out. And being a very attentive servant and understanding the Lord's mind, he knew it meant that the Lord wanted some haritaki, which is a dried fruit preparation that helps digestion. So he ran into the nearby village and begged some haritaki and came back and gave it to the Lord. So the next day, same thing, after taking prasadam, the Lord stuck his hand out and Vasudev Ghosh gave him some haritaki right away. And so the Lord was acted surprised. Yesterday you ran to the village to beg some and today you have it immediately. How so? So then he said, he told him, and this is instructive of all renunciants, he said, because you have kept, you've hoarded, in other words, then you should move on to the next ashram, become a householder. In other words, renunciants don't hoard things. So he said, because you have this hoarding mentality, you should get married and worship the deity. So he did that. He followed the Lord's instruction. He didn't argue. The Lord said, get married. He got married, had a son, and he was worshiping this Gopinath deity. It's not the same Gopinath as in Vrindavan, I don't think. A different Gopinath. But anyway, so he worshipped the deity for many years. And then, lo and behold, one day his wife died. And shortly after that, his son died. So he externally became morose. He would stay in bed and he stopped his deity worship. So after some time, Gopinath came to him and was massaging his legs and said, why aren't you taking care? Well, my son died. But he said, I'm also your son. You're maintaining me. I'm dependent on you. So I'm also your son. So he said, yeah, but there will be nobody there to perform pinda when I die. So the deity said, I will take care of it. And so to this day, that deity still does that. When it's the disappearance day of Vasudev Ghosh, he puts on the deity's dress in white and he performs a pinda ceremony on behalf of his father, Vasudev Ghosh. Vasudev Ghosh ki jai. So any questions, any comments? Brigupati Prabhu. Hare Krishna. It differs for everyone. It's not that there's only one set rule and everybody follows that rule. It differs. It depends on what your next situation is going to be. For some, for the majority, they have to go and see Yamaraj. So they're conscious while that's happening. You may not remember that in your next life, but they're conscious on the way of being bitten by the dogs of the Yamadutas and strangled, and they're conscious of that. And then they come before Yamaraj, and they're certainly judged in a conscious way, and then they're sent to, most of them, to the hellish planets for some time, definitely conscious. So consciousness remains. Consciousness is, can't be, you can become artificially unconscious by some chloroform or something like that, any kind of, or when you're in this particular state of deep unconsciousness, like when we were merged into the body of Mahavishnu. Do you remember being in the body of Mahavishnu? You remember? We don't, but we were there. Because if you don't go back to Godhead after a particular universe winds up, then everything gets withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu. So technically, we can assume we've been there many times. We've been withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu. But we don't remember, because in that state, you're in what's called susupti, a deep sleep where you're totally unconscious. Kind of like when you get an anesthetic, totally unconscious. But at the time of death, generally that's not the case. Some people, because they take their own lives or they die in some violent way, they have to spend some time in ghostly form. So they're definitely conscious. They're definitely conscious. How long that lasts, again, it varies from person to person. And some go directly to Yamaraj and get judged right away and get placed in their next situation, which sometimes is not very nice. But the devotees, if you don't complete the course, you don't go to see Yamaraj. Generally, that's not the idea. Those who don't complete the bhakti course, they get put back in bhakti class again. Take birth either from a womb of a devotee mother or from a very wealthy family, which affords them the chance to again pick up bhakti right away without having to worry about their material situation. So, but how long that takes, I don't know. But when you're in the womb, it starts out in an unconscious state, it's stated. But after some time, Prabhupada said several times, the seventh month, the child regains consciousness in the womb, and then at that point feels uncomfortable and is begging to come out. Yeah. Suchinam Srimata. Yeah. Yoga Brashta. Those who are Yoga Brashta, yes. No, I'm behind. Yeah. No, it's not wrong. No, the acharyas are pushing us. Develop that desire to go back to home, back to Godhead. This Mama Janmani, Jamani, Ishwari, that's Lord Chaitanya's level and pure devotee level. In the beginning, we don't feel like that urge to go back to Godhead out of laziness. It's not that we're on the Mama Janmani, Jamani stage. Pure devotees and the Lord Himself, when He comes as Lord Chaitanya, they set that example. I don't care where I am. Just, you know, you could even make me brokenhearted by not being present before. That's ultimate pure devotional stage. In the beginning, we have to be motivated by understanding that this is a horrible place, not trying to enjoy it. So we can examine our consciousness. Am I not excited about going back to Godhead because I'm on the pure devotional platform or because I'm just lazy and still trying to enjoy the material world? So you have to test yourself. If you're already on the pure devotional platform, then yes. Narayana Paraksarva Hinakatashana Bibhati. Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apitul Yarta Darshana. But those who are on that stage of Narayana Parayana, complete pure devotion to the Lord, then it doesn't matter where they are. Apavarga or Naraka or where, it doesn't matter. Hell or spiritual world, they're going to do the same thing. Pure devotional service. Prabhupada compares it to like a typewriter. Typewriter, whether you take it to hell or it's on earth or it's in heavenly planet, same thing. Tick, 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 tick. It's going to do the same thing. So when you're on that platform, and you can test yourself, am I on that platform? Or do I get upset when the weather is not nice or somebody looked at me wrong? Or, you know, people are so sensitive. Somebody looks at me, oh, why are they looking at me like that? How are you going to survive in this world if you're so sensitive? You see? If you're thrown off your devotional track by the way somebody looks at you, whereas somebody who's on a pure devotional platform, they don't care what's going on. They're not affected by the weather or... And this is stated. Krishna says, this is a test. For one who has controlled the mind, the super soul is already reached. For such a person, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, heat and cold does not affect them. They're not affected by that. So this is an acid test for us. If I'm affected by it's too cold to go out on Harinam, or it's too hot, or to go cook in the kitchen, or it's too this, or it's too that, or people don't like me, they're looking at me weird, or if all of that affects you, then you're obviously not on the, even on the Brahmabhuta platform, what to speak of, complete pure devotional service. Make sense? Okay, one more and then we're... Yes, Anil? Jai, Granth Sarva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.